Hello, my name is Michael Caine, and you're listening to the UCB Sports and Leisure. You're welcome.
Since the dawn of time, man has competed and relaxed. But with that comes responsibility. We go behind the pageantry and ceremony to examine these modern warriors and relaxers to bring you the real story.
From East Hollywood, the investigative capital of the world, this is UCB Sports and Leisure.
The NFL is a monopoly driven by profit. Catering to television revenue and corporate sponsors, the league has slowly wrestled America's game away from the working class fan. Now, with rumors that the Oakland Raiders are relocating to Las Vegas and have partnered with corrupt billionaire Mikhail Prokhorov, UCB Sports and Leisure was worried for the common Raider fan. And so we sat down with Mr. Prokhorov at the Five Roses Casino in Las Vegas to see if his new stadium would be an oligarchy or a democracy.
So you like the Five Roses here, huh? I've never been to this one.
Yeah, this is the new casino that I enjoy the most, yeah.
Steve Wynn, or who's behind this one?
Wynn and some shadow money from Shevchenko.
So you invest the money, and then you share the profits with these people?
It all moves through a third party.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I can't speak about the flow of money.
Okay, so...
It's beautiful.
How are the Nets? We'll just do small talk, I guess.
These are all elephant tusks.
Yeah, oh.
They say that it's illegal in certain parts of...
That's distasteful.
...of Africa, but in other places it's not.
It's ornamental. Okay.
Yeah.
They're not real. I'm sure they're just, like, decorative.
So lately you've been involved with the Oakland Raiders scouting a location in Las Vegas to possibly move the team?
Yeah, the Silver and Black Attack.
Okay. And your plan is to buy the Raiders.
Yeah.
And then move them to Vegas.
Yeah.
And you're here scouting locations.
Yeah, I'm looking for the right place, if I can find it, to build a stadium for the Oakland, Las Vegas, Moscow Raiders.
The Moscow Raiders.
Yeah.
So you won't change the name. It'll be the Raiders. You'll just put Moscow in there?
Moscow or St. Petersburg, not Florida.
Or Kiev.
Okay.
Kiev.
But it seems easy to find land in a desert. Like, when you say scout an area, like, couldn't you just go right outside the city limits? And
no, it's not as easy as... Everyone thinks that because of the story of Lamar Odom and his bunny ranch,
mm-hmm.
that there's just open places where you can go and receive the meal of your choice and sexual favors over a course of a weekend, and that it's... There is no law, but I'm a friend of America, and I know there are laws, so you have to abide by them, and I can't just throw up a stadium of 160,000, you know. That's,
you want the capacity to be 160,000 people?
It will be the biggest stadium in the world.
Bigger than the Texas Jerry Jones Stadium.
Bigger than Jerry Jones Stadium, bigger than the Roman Coliseum.
Really? And dome, obviously a dome, right?
Bigger than the Michigan Big House.
Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And a dome
stadium. Just so you know, the Coliseum really didn't hold that many people. It was a very famous stadium.
That's why I'm saying it's bigger than that.
Got it.
Yeah, that's not something to brag about.
I reference it not because of its capacity, but because that it is such a famous stadium. Maybe the most famous.
So the stadium will be 160,000 seats. Dome? Air conditioning? Like
there's
what
going
else?
To be a dome that will retract at its own whim.
Oh, it whenever it wants.
It's a smart dome.
Mm-hmm.
So it will say, it's going to be too hot. Maybe it will be the very rare rain. We are going to close. We'll open.
Or if you're playing a team that has like a weak running game, but you guys have a strong running game and it's going to rain,
yes,
it would open.
Yes, yes. We want this dome to be the first dome that will be able to breathe. And because of this, we are using skin.
Skin.
Synthetic
skin.
Okay. Yeah, it breathes.
A permeable membrane will be wrapping this stadium.
Yeah, exactly. And we're working with some top scientists from all over the world, mostly Korea.
And casino in the
casino
stadium?
Will be in the concourse, and it will be 18 up. No one below 18 will be able to come through. This is one problem.
I think legally you have to be 21, but it sounds like you're lowering it, actually.
We're lowering it for some, raising for others. You can't just bring your family into...
So the games won't be... Or they'll have a separate entrance, or no?
We will just not allow you to bring your children anywhere near this casino.
So is the focus of this stadium to make money off the casino, or is it to provide a place to play for the Raiders?
The focus of this casino is to make money through casino games, through prostitution, and to, in the background, let's play a game of national football.
That seems antithetical to, like, the hardcore football fan.
Celine Dion will sing every national anthem, every America the Beautiful. She will sing also anything that, if you buy the luxury seats, you can give a request. She will play it for you. Billie Jean, what have you, she will sing it for you and this stadium.
Wow.
So, and I know that Las Vegas is famous for a lot of the magic shows. They have there's Chris Angel... There's
love Chris Angel.
There's Penn and Teller. And that,
love
so the
Penn
halftime,
and Teller.
The halftime
I know that,
shows
I know
be
that you've been having lunch with them recently this week. What were you guys talking about?
Exploratory meetings. I wanted to get Danny Gans to do a halftime residency, but I found out that he died 4, 5, maybe 7 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, but because of... technology, I'm just learning about all sorts of people that are no longer with us.
You mean you've been Googling people and find out they're
absolutely
dead.
Nelson Mandela, Carol O'Connor,
they're all dead.
The list goes on.
Yeah, Prince just died.
Prince,
really
what?
Yeah, Prince, he's gone. Prince died.
Okay.
The musician from.
Yeah, who are you talking about? Just a generic, like
no,
a monarch?
No, I was telling. I just the way you were looking at me, I thought that
I'm taking it in. I'm not a robot. I'm a man who grew up with this music. You know, don't forget,
People don't say they're not a robot. You know what I mean?
I tell myself
like
every day.
He's defensive about.
Every morning I get up. Okay, I look in the mirror. I blink 7 times, and I say, "I'm not a robot. I'm not a robot. I'm not a robot."
Mm-hmm. And then you do jet ski drills.
Yeah, I do dry land jet ski drills. Sometimes we get in the water, depends on what's happening in the weather.
I noticed you can just look out this beautiful window at the Five Roses here and see this beautiful jet ski lake right next door.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
this you install jet ski this especially for jet skis?
It's the only freshwater jet ski lake with custom ramps in the west of the Mississippi.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let me ask you this about the Raiders. They seem a bit of a cursed franchise. So my first question is, why did you get involved as like a money guy on this deal? It's a difficult franchise.
There's a history with this team.
Al Davis,
Jay Plunkett, Lyle Alzado, Marcus Allen, and then Schrader, the Jay Schrader.
Mm-hmm.
Who was one of my very favorites, and Todd Marinovich. The list goes on of disappointments. And I said, wait, we can bring these glory days back. Madden, John Madden, this video game is very popular all over the world. Now, what if I can bring him back to life and have him be the play-by-play? I talked about it with some of my people. Some said, no, we cannot do this. He's not alive. I said, you're fired.
John Madden's actually alive, you know. Do you use Google or you use the Russian search engine?
Neither. I have a guy,
okay.
And he just tells me who's alive, who's not. So for him to be lying to me about that, it would be playing with a very dangerous fire.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me that John Madden is
alive?
I'm not saying the other guy is lying. I just think that he might not be.
Cole Surge.
He's talking to his phone.
Is that your hitman?
No, oh, this is the guy who tells me who's alive and dead. The irony of this would be that I will leave a message for him and say, guess what, Serge? You're dead. Okay.
And he'll know that he's dead.
Yeah.
Do you want to leave him a message or you?
it's my phone is...
How long does it take for the beep?
This is Cricket. Do you use this service?
No.
It's like a burner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't get great service.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you use Cricket. Is that to save money, or what is that?
It's just to protect my interests, you know.
Was there any difficulty because you have a lot of Russian money, you already own a sports team? Was the NFL, I don't know, disappointed that you were involved in this deal, or did you have to, like, play nice with them?
The great thing about Roger Goodell is that he is so incredibly open to new business ventures. And all it took was for him to come visit me in one of my homes in Paramus. And let me tell you, he is an incredible man. He was able to stay in the blowjob den for over 14 straight hours.
You have a blowjob den in Paramus?
Yeah, it's a blowjob den in Paramus. These women are incredibly beautiful, and they are only concerned with making my guests feel comfortable. And Roger Goodell was nice enough to indulge me, and he was able to stay in there. It's like riding a mechanical bull, but for blowjobs in reception.
So he has the stamina of a Russian.
He is like a Russian. I have found him to be nothing but honest and generous, you know. And he
agreed. Beyond having an appetite for oral sex, what else makes you like Roger Goodell?
I like that, you know, this league was in big trouble and it had a lot of corruption. And he said, goodbye, it's time to clean up the act.
Okay. All right.
Matt, we have a phone call.
Oh, my God. We've never had a phone call.
No. My producer is telling me that Donald Trump's on the phone, wants to talk to Mikhail Prokhorov. Donald, you're on.
Yeah, I want to talk to Mikhail.
He's right here.
Yeah. I love you. You do what you do, and people try and stand in your way, and that's what I love about you, I'd love to have you be my running mate. You know, because believe me, you know how to get stuff done where a lot of people don't, and you're not afraid to do it.
Wow,
that's a first.
What do you think about that, Mikhail?
I love you, Donald. You know that we always have a good time, and you are also another guy. You know, you want a president who can last at least 6 hours in the blowjob den, and he has multiple times.
The stamina of a Russian, Mr. Trump.
Well, you know, I take that compliment very seriously. Very so. Believe me, if I'm president, I will receive blowjobs at a rate that no president has ever received blowjobs. Believe me.
All right. Thank you for calling Donald Trump.
Wow. That was
just
wild.
Broke the vice president story.
Wow.
If he asks me, I will have to consider. I know that because I'm not from here, that it's difficult. Like Ted Cruz, he's not American, you know, which is, and Barack Obama, also not American.
He is born here.
Yeah,
he proved it. He showed his birth certificate.
Hey, you know what?
Clinton.
One of your concierges told us that we were being taken care of tonight.
Yes,
and I wasn't sure what Matt and I being taken care of here in Vegas meant. Like, I know that we were given the deluxe, the diamond room. Now, what's in the diamond room? What happens up there?
Diamond room is a fantastic. It's got a surround sound.
Right.
300-inch LED TV, which is unbelievable. It's basically the size of a wall or 7 ping pong tables stacked in a strange geodesic way. And from there, they will begin to bring you food that you did not order, some which you like very much, almost in a way where it's, how did they know that I prefer my lasagna to have this particular spice blend? Then suddenly, things that I don't enjoy. At this point, someone will come in that you will feel immediately attracted to, not just physically, but also this is almost someone that I have known my whole life, a connection, a real connection. These are robots. They are not actual human women. And within 1 hour, they will make you believe that they are actual human beings.
This is like the plot of Blade Runner.
Yeah, I have not seen that one.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot of... You know, attractive robots.
Or her. Her where you fall for a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is a physical.
But from there, straight to the blowjob den.
Oh, you have one here too? Not in just Paramus?
Oh, yeah. I have them everywhere.
Oh. And well, it's always a den? It's never just like a room?
It's a den. It's always like a place where a family could hang out and watch Charlotte's Web or, you know, time for pizza after the game, the Little League, whatever. A den.
So,
it should feel like a suburban.
But there's no kids in there, right?
No, please. This is a blowjob den. It looks like a den. There's pictures of someone's mom when she ran that marathon, and also a dartboard with some cobwebs. But then, just gorgeous knockout. 10 out of 10 women, most of them, you know, have been kidnapped at age 12 and raised in the most perfect settings.
I mean,
they're treated like, this is not a sex slavery. It's not that. These are people that say, hey, we want to come and work for your organization. And they're all VPs of blowjobs.
Well, you can. I'll take the lasagna, but you can skip any endangered food. Like, I don't eat any endangered species.
No.
What's the signal if he sits in like the bear's chair or something? Like, is there like a chair that you know? Like, okay, this is a go, or is just anywhere in the den?
No, I think you're not understanding about this blowjob den. It is basically there's a stack of old DVDs. Okay, some are in a case that the stand up case logic. Mm-hmm. You know the. Okay, at the time when everyone said, yeah, these DVDs will be around forever and you can't afford to have built-in cabinetry, here's a nice way to display them and you can see them. Some are loose, gathered on the ground.
I'm picturing a den.
Yeah, it's a den. And then all of a sudden, the moment that you feel I'm in the most comfortable place from my childhood, in comes just the blowjob factory. All the women and they're only
women there. And robots, right? Is it a blend?
Some are women of with flesh and blood. Others are robots simulated. And it's really just a cost-efficient way to do it. It's not because I prefer. The truth is you cannot tell the difference between the robot blowjob and the human blowjob.
So they come out
That's
of the trap
fun
door?
Game to play. As
they
a matter
out of
fact,
a secret panel they or come a trap out, door?
It's secret only if you think that the kegerator still works. Because that refrigerator has, for years, we all know, Bobby broke it, and it's, you know, that's what's the fun of the den.
So if you've been there once, you know where the secret door
is. Everyone who's been to the blowjob den knows everything that's coming, but it's still fun. It's like...
So they probably laugh at anybody who goes to the kegerator.
Like going to Six Flags. Yeah, because you go, get ready for this. He's going over to the kegerator, and guess what's inside? Many women. It's a little bit like a string theory. That what I'm doing here with this, because these are literally blowjob. You know how we all went to college with someone and you go, oh, Corinne, she was the blowjob machine. That was a nickname that they gave her. I'm literally have created blowjob machines. Mm-hmm. And so now when you say that, okay, yeah, but it's a real thing.
My concern with your involvement with the NFL is like you live the life of a one percenter. Obviously, people like Donald Trump call you all the time. I feel like you're going to create a stadium that doesn't respect or invest in the common fan who have to scramble to get a little money to get in there. Like, is it going to be, it's all I know is there's a casino, there's going to be a private room for one percenters, there's going to be a blowjob den. I guarantee you there's going to be a million corporate skyboxes. Like, what are you doing for the normal fans?
Thank you for asking that.
Please.
There will also be one whole section that will be set up like a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, okay.
Okay, an outdoor viewing, and you can go there. And for $100, which is cheaper than any ticket in any NFL stadium, okay, you can go in there and
watch the game.
Like hogs in a pen, you can stand there and look up and watch this enormous screen.
Oh, not even, you don't have a sight line to the field in
no,
this.
No, absolutely not. It's okay. Just you can hear what's happening in there.
Okay, you can hear
that. And your dreams are growing because you're wishing, can I be one of those people? And I think that this incentivizes the people that are not.
So what percentage of common people, like 5% of the stadium is dedicated to like lower income people or middle income people?
Yeah, like the middle class.
I don't like to say who's lower income, who's more income. I strictly say, do you have the money or do you not? I don't get into the specifics. I don't know why someone does not have the money on that day. Does it mean that they won't have it tomorrow? I would never be a person to say no.
If I get my $100 and I give it to you and I say I want to be in the Buffalo Wild Wings TV section.
It's called the Buffalo Wild Wings audio experience.
Uh-huh. Do I get free wings or do I pay for the wings?
No, you pay for it.
Okay. What does the $100 get? Like,
gives you a viewing of a giant television screen.
But I could just have it in my house, though.
An ambient stadium sound.
You can almost feel like you're in the stadium. You can see in little windows cut out, you can see little bits and pieces of people's faces who are in the stadium enjoying this game. And so it's voyeuristic. There is no television in there, but you're just seeing people, hearing them, and thinking, I can be them one day.
So the fans are going to be pre-sold corporate sponsors? Like every ring, every level is going to be filled with corporate?
If people want to buy tickets, I can buy a ticket, individual, family four-pack, you know, $10,000, okay, something like this. And the games will be blacked out in almost every market until I sell these rights. And Goodell, let me tell you, after his time in the blowjob den, he
Paramus,
was
yeah,
more than willing to listen.
It seems like you're just getting whatever
he
you
loves,
want through this blowjob den. Like
he loves redhead women.
Goodell does.
Loves redhead women.
What kind of robots does he like?
Redhead robots.
Oh, okay.
I kind of hope you fail in Vegas because I don't like the way you're excluding the common people.
I'm very inclusive. It doesn't sound like it. If you go downstairs right now, we have an excellent shabu shabu that is a great value. And there are people with no money in there. And many of them are...
with no money? How did they get in?
Well, we welcome everyone in and then try and take everything that they have, including people. This is the only casino in the world where you can actually just give your social security card and we can draw off of your social security.
It's like a riverboat. It's like the worst blight any city would want.
What, is it true?
You're going to have like a quick loans place too where people can like sign over their car?
We have a W.H. Smith and with a payday loans attached to it and then a blimpy that's inside that. So you can get a sub sandwich with your payday loan while you're also looking for a USA Today weekend edition. Because USA Today decided a long time ago, we're not going to do a paper on the Saturday and Sunday, just Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday, we'll fatten it up a little bit, but not much, because we're going to take the weekend off. We're a newspaper, not a slave plantation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mr. Prokhorov.
Thank you.
I wish the NFL was more of a democracy.
Yeah, but I hope you fail.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Kenny Stevenson, and you're listening to the UCB Sports and Leisure Podcast.
The NFL has struggled in recent years to clarify many of their rule changes. And so we sat down with former Florida governor and failed Republican presidential candidate Jeb Bush to discuss his new job at the NFL as president of the committee to define a legal reception.
So, Jeb Bush, I know that you've run out of... Well, let me rephrase that. You haven't been... You're not the president, so you have other things to do now.
Right, right.
So, such a, like... And so now you're helping us out with the NFL catch rule? Is that what you're doing?
Well, first I'd like to say, I think it's fair to say I got pretty close.
You got close to the president. Of course, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was pretty much just me and one or two other
people.
You
raised the most money. That was good.
Right. Well, you know, because I'm good at making people, you know, think about what's right. And I think a lot of people realize, you know, I was right.
You were right.
Yeah, I was right. So that's why they gave me a lot of money. But
You had a good logo. You had the exclamation point, Jeb.
Jeb.
That was good.
That's all you need.
Well.
Jeb.
You might need more. Well, I think you proved you need more than that.
What else? What was I supposed to use?
I know. You know what? In your defense, it was almost impossible to beat Trump. It was really hard. It was just like, I think it's because your name is Jeb Bush and you are so attached and such a big part of your family.
You don't say I'm attached to it.
You are. You're not attached to your family?
It might be attached to me. You know, does a rat choose its tail?
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's not their choice. The tail is already on
right.
the rat.
Yeah. Yeah, they just got it. You know?
So you're... You can't choose the... Are you the tail? Or are you the rat?
If you ask
are you calling your father a rat?
No, I was going to say, if you ask my father, you know, he'll tell you
You don't get along with your dad?
I didn't win.
So now he... See, you got father issues. That's the thing.
No, he's a great man. I mean, I'd kill for him. I'm glad that I haven't been the person he's asked to kill for him. Not that he's asked other people. But if he did, I suppose I would like it if he asked me. Maybe he did ask other people and he didn't ask me. Who cares?
Hmm.
So this catch rule, it's complicated to me because you need to catch
right,
the
that's
ball.
That's what I'm on now.
So you're the catch rule committee you're in charge of.
Yep.
You're trying to find a political solution to the catch rule.
Right.
And obviously many of the referees and the fans were confused last year. Even some of the announcers were confused in announcing the games. And what happens is when a football player catches the ball, he puts his two hands on the ball, he falls to the ground. The ball can't touch the ground unless if it does, it's got to be secured and both feet have to be inbounds during control of the ball and a football play is made. Is that correct?
Yeah, and an elbow counts.
Uh-huh. Okay.
As down. What I think we need to do is a lot of things are judged by failure or success, right? So one thing I'm trying to do with the catch rule is maybe sometimes somebody tries as hard as they can, and for whatever reason, it's questionable as to whether or not they were successful.
So you think the intention, the amount of want to catch the ball should count?
Right, maybe we should get to know a person more than just what the last name is on the back of the jersey.
Uh-huh.
How much of their heart were they willing to give? Would they kill somebody for you? For example, just a hypothetical, for example.
So Alshon Jeffrey's running down the field. The ball's in the air. He leaps. He puts one hand on the ball. He lands. The ball stays steady in his hand but wobbles a little as he gets it with the other hand and makes a football play inbounds. Is that a catch or no?
Well, technically, there's two things. First, by the way that you described it, it would be a catch,
mm-hmm.
Okay? You said the ball was or was not moving around?
It was not moving when he had one hand on it, but when he put another hand on it to secure it, it wobbled a little, but he still controlled it.
Okay, well—
That's where I get confused is like the announcers and everybody don't even know what a catch is anymore.
Right, well, first—
Can you tell us what a catch is?
Yeah, a catch is when a person tries their best—
mm-hmm.
Puts their first name before their last name. It's just who they are.
Uh-huh.
And says to themselves, "There's the prize. I want the prize." And then when that prize comes down, maybe they catch it and maybe they don't. But you know that that person gave their all.
In this scenario, is the football the presidency?
Yeah.
And is the receiver you?
Yeah.
And are the 2 feet that are inbounds President 41 and President 43?
Yeah, maybe they, maybe they failed you a little bit,
The feet failed you or you failed the feet?
Probably ask the feet.
I have to ask the feet.
Feet would give you a different answer than the hands, Because sometimes the hand is... the hand's doing all it can. The hand is the hand's trying. It's out there. It's the hand's shaking hands. The hand's holding babies. That's a catch. The hand is looking people in the eye and saying, "I'm here for you." And then the feet went off and read a book in a library too long, or the feet. They weren't going to raise taxes and raise taxes. The type of things that feet could do, hypothetically speaking, and then uh-huh. They want to blame the hands. And so, I think we got to look at the whole body of work when it comes into a catch. And that's what I'm trying to bring into the NFL is let's look at the whole body. Let's look at the intent. And then maybe afterwards we ask the person, "Do you think it was a catch?" And I feel like
players just decide if they want if they caught it or not.
Ask their opinion. They're gonna say they caught the ball.
Jeb, you're not being realistic about the way football players play on the field.
Maybe if they had a dad like I had, and they knew that it was important to be honest, they'd say what happened with that catch.
Well, they didn't have your dad. You had your dad.
Maybe their dad's like my dad. Sitting there, letting you pick your own stick.
So the Bears are one play away from the Super Bowl, and some other team makes a play, and then you ask him if he caught it, and he says yes, and then we lose?
Well, let's get everybody's opinion. Ask the official. Let's come to a consensus. Everybody's there in the stadium. Take a vote. Maybe a real vote with people who are really informed about the issue at hand, this mm-hmm. issue being the catch. Rather, rather than just voting for the guy because he dances well, you know, on the sidelines, and people think, oh, look at that rich man there, and he dances good. I guess I'll vote for him. Why don't we look at the issue at hand that has to deal with the catch? And maybe
Jeff, if we do that, people will make the right. You were brought in to clarify the catch rule, and I feel like
I feel like I have 100%. I've introduced, the classic. It supersedes me, but it's a classic feet versus hands argument issue. Uh-huh. And then obviously a voting system, which I feel like if people were informed on the catch and saw everybody's on the same page, they would vote correctly.
Okay. What if a guy catches the ball, gets his feet down, rolls out of bounds, he caught it, but then fumbles it later and did not complete a football play, as they say? What is a football play in your mind?
Well, a football play to me is giving your best effort. You know, when all the odds
are
stacked.
The intention doesn't really. I don't think that it matters what the intention is. Like how.
Then what do we judge by? Because if you don't judge
results,
by
results.
Well. Shit.
Thanks for listening to UCB Sports and Leisure. Special thanks to Brad Morris and Daniel Van Kirk and our producer, Alexis B. Preston. And, of course, thanks, Matt Walsh. Thanks for being here. And thanks to, I'm Scott Armstrong. I won't thank myself. Follow us on Twitter, at UCBSL. And follow at Scott Armstrong 22, right? And Mr. Matt Walsh, for sure. Thanks.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.